Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity we have, Lord, to be here in your house today. We ask you, dear God, to have your will and way in our hearts and lives. Lord, may the word of God, Lord, do for us and in us what needs to be done to help us draw closer to you. Lord, I thank you for each one that's come. I pray for these dear people this week. You bless them. Give them a good week. Lord, I just ask you now to have your will and way in all our hearts and lives. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. By the way, you ought to be happy today. Some of you that have children and grandchildren, they're going to be gone this week, aren't they? Amen? They're going to be going to camp. Well, some of you will be happy, some of you will be sad. But anyway, I know the campers are happy, whether you are or not, and that's going to be a good week for them. And we're trusting God to do some great work in their lives this week at camp, as God always does there. Now, John chapter 1, the word of God, John chapter 1, verse 40, one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew. We talked about Andrew already. Notice Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted to Christ. And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah, thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. Now, we already talked about this one time, but again, this is just getting for me what we're going to talk about as far as opening up another disciple. We talked about Andrew, and now in verse number 43, the Bible says this, the day following, after he talked to Andrew and Peter, the day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and notice he findeth Philip. Notice that word, Jesus findeth Philip here, and said unto him, follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And we'll continue with that in just a minute. But we find here, first of all, that the apostle Philip, we're going to talk about him today. And as we look at Philip, we see him as the practical man. The practical man. Now, in saying practical, I mean he's useful, he's usable, he's workable. A practical man. He's a down-to-earth guy. He'll do anything, okay? He can do anything, and he will do anything. He's that kind of individual. Philip is here. He was an apostle. Again, the Bible says in this verse 44, he was of Bethsaida in Galilee. Little is in the Scripture do we find about Philip. Most of these apostles you don't find much about in the Scriptures. And Philip is like that also. Notice in verse number 43, we see, first of all, his call. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and said unto him, follow me. Do you realize, folks, before you were saved, before I was saved, I'll put it this way, before I was saved, I wasn't looking for God. I wasn't looking for Jesus. I was just going to church because I had to, more or less, in Sunday school. But I'm so glad I realize now that God was looking at me. He was looking at me. Jesus was looking at me. He was knocking on my door when I went to church. When the Word of God was preached and talked to me by the Spirit of God, God was dealing with me. God was looking at me, so to speak. Not that he couldn't physically find me, but he wanted me to answer his call. He wanted me to be his child, what I'm saying here. We see here that his call here was how Philip was discovered by Jesus. Jesus, knowing all things, knowing everybody, he found Philip. It was time for Philip to be called. It was time for Philip to follow Jesus, you see here. Now, we see his call. Look at verse number 44. Now, Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. They were all close guys, no doubt. No doubt, probably Philip had seen what happened to Andrew, what had happened to Peter, as they had more or less dedicated their life to the Lord. And then, no doubt, you know, when somebody gets saved, that you work around, you're around every week, every day, they have an influence on you, don't they? I mean, you see something different about their life. And here we see this possibly could have happened here. We see Philip's call here, his call. Now, notice also, not only after Philip following Jesus, Philip had a concern. He had a concern. just like Andrew did, just like Peter did, just like Matthew did. Now, Philip has a concern. He has the same concern, somebody else. You know, it's been said that there is never a saved person who wants to go to heaven alone. If you're saved today, do you want to go to heaven alone? No, none of us do. We want to bring somebody with us, don't we? We're going to learn that course next week, Lord willing. Don't go to heaven alone. Bring somebody with you. Friends and neighbors in sin, are you trying to win? Don't go to heaven alone. Bring somebody with you, okay? We don't want to go to heaven alone. And here we see now Philip, notice what he did in verse number 45. We just read verse 45. Let's read it again. Philip findeth who? Nathanael. Philip just said, I'm going to follow Jesus. Now, what's the first thing he wants to do? He finds somebody that he knows, a friend, Nathanael. He findeth Nathanael and said to him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Verse 46, and Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Notice the response of Philip. Philip said unto him, what? Come and see. What a response. What a response we have here of this. So we see Philip's concern was for Nathanael now. His heart was concerned for him. You know, we all have people that we work with, associate with somehow or another, and we ought to be concerned about them, folks. You know, someone said the greatest way to start a revival is go home or go somewhere in a private place, draw a circle, get in it, and stay there and pray and ask God to stir you up and revive you. That's the best place to start a revival, folks, is with us. Individuals. It's going to take us individuals. I love to go to revival meetings. I love to be involved in revival meetings. But am I revived? Am I concerned? Do I have a burden for people? I've got neighbors. Are they saved? I don't know whether they are or not. You got neighbors, you got friends, I do too. You work with people, are they saved? Do we know? Do we care? Are we asking them? Here, Philip, he found Nathanael. He was concerned about Nathanael. He said, we found Jesus of Nazareth. And of course, what did he question him? Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? And Philip said to Nathanael, come and see. Just like, why don't you come to church with me? And see what's there. You know, the Word of God is taught. The Word of God is preached. We worship God with songs. You know, we have fellowship one with another. And it's great to be in church, folks. It really is. It's great to have a church, especially at this time in the world in which we live, which so much out there is so corrupt. Thank God for a place that we can come and be alone, be with God, and be away from the world and focus on Him rather than things in life and things in this world. I thank God for this place today. But notice here, as he invites Nathanael, verse 45. Verse 46, we see Nathanael said to him, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip said to him, come and see. Here he's soul winning. He's bringing him to Jesus, you see. Now notice verse 47 and verse 48, the interest in Jesus from Nathanael. Verse 47, Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and says of him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. See, Jesus already knew about him. Jesus had met Nathanael when he called him, you know, called 12. He knew about him. But look at verse 48. Nathanael said unto him, whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. We see Nathanael's interest in Jesus. He's concerned about Jesus. Now look at verse 49. We see how Nathanael was inspired by Jesus. Remember, Philip said, come and see. Come and see Jesus. He's there now in the very presence of Jesus with Philip, and he's interested in him. And now we see he's inspired by him. Verse 49, the Bible says this, Nathanael answered and said to him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. He recognized who he was. Thou art who? Rabbi, the Son of God. You've got to be the Son of God. Thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. And Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw the end of the fig tree. Believest thou shalt see greater things than these? And he said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon this Son of Man, the Son of Man. So we see here, Philip introduced Nathanael to Jesus. Philip, a soul winner. Philip, a man, just a practical man. A practical man being willing to use by the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see this. Philip here, as he's described, he's a native of Bethsaida in Galilee. He's a Greek. We see his name is Greek meaning warrior. He's a lover of horses. Philip was. We see he's a close friend, again, to Andrew and Peter. They're connected. He's a very timid guy. He's not an outspoken guy, but he's very timid. He's very timid. You know, I've heard the testimony of a lot of missionaries and pastors especially. I kind of say this myself. Coming up, we were very timid. Very timid. You've heard this before. We used to give oral book reports in school. I despise that day. I despise it. You know, the teacher would go down she wouldn't go straight down the row. She would at random pick out people. You know, I was just standing there, I hope you don't call me today. And she didn't call me that day. And I said, oh, well, now I got to tomorrow. You know, and every time she called me, I was just timid. I didn't want to stand up in front of people and say anything, you know, about books. But it's amazing how God can change people. God can change people. We see the best word that describes Philip was practical. He was practical. He's workable. Notice in his decision. In John chapter 1, we find, again, he was probably very acquainted with Andrew because he probably was with him when John the Baptist preached about Jesus being the Lamb of God. They came into the world to seek and save the lost. He was probably with John during that time, you see. Well, I like verse 43, where Jesus found Philip. Jesus found Philip. I'm so glad that Jesus found me. Right where I was, in the shape I was in, lost and undone, on my way to hell, he found me. He found me. I'm so glad for that today. Andrew found his own brother, Simon Peter, but it was Jesus himself who found Philip. Jesus found Philip, the Bible says. Notice, if you will, please, in verse 43, the day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip, and he said unto him, Follow me. We see here two things, the call about Philip. Number one is the call to faith. Follow me. Follow me. Trust me, he says, Philip. Trust me. We also see to follow. He followed because he came at once. He came at once. He didn't hesitate. He came at once to follow Jesus. You see, he came, you see. Philip was never ready to take a step forward until he was sure he was making the right step. We see that in verse number 45. Philip findeth Nathanael and said to them, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Philip wanted to make sure that the step he took was right. He was going the right direction. You know, he was a practical man. A practical man here, we see here. We also see that as soon as Philip was sure, he sought him. Sure, he was sure he sought the Lord. You know, sometimes we have to be, what's the word? We have to be sure that we're doing right before we do it, don't we? We don't make sudden decisions in life. And God don't expect us to. But when we make a decision, especially when it comes to about the Lord, you know, we want to make sure we're making the right decision. And when we do, we know without any doubt, hey, I have made the right choice. I made the right choice. I wish more people would trust Christ. I really do. But you've got to realize, they got to hear the gospel first. It takes the Word of God by the Spirit of God to convict and to draw people to Christ. If they don't hear it, they're not going to get saved, folks. They're not going to get saved. That's why we have the challenge and the commission to go and tell. Talk to people about the Lord. Read the Scriptures to them. It's good to give a testimony, but it's good to read the Scriptures to them. because the Scriptures is going to be that that's going to draw people to Christ. Not what we say, not what I say, you see. But Philip was ready now to take that step forward. As soon as he was, we see here, as soon as Philip was sure, he sought to bring others to Christ. He sought to bring Nathanael to Christ. He was sure. You know, I'll never forget the day I got saved. I can't forget that. But I also can't forget the day that the first person ever led to Christ. First person ever led to Christ. I can't forget that. The young guy. I led a young guy to the Lord. That guy was so happy. And I'm going to tell you what's the truth. It's almost like getting saved again. When you lead somebody else to Christ, there's a joy that comes in up in you, a bubbling up in you, that you rejoice because you see somebody else that's trusted Christ as their personal Savior. There's nothing like it, folks. That's revival. That's getting revived. It's seeing other people come to know Christ as we know Christ, folks. That's the only thing that's going to make us happy in this world. Nehemiah says the joy of the Lord is what? Our strength. It's our strength. Are we happy in the Lord today? Are we happy in the Lord? There's a joy in our hearts because we're saved. We're on the way to heaven. Maybe it's because we're not witnessing enough. We're not trying to tell people about the Lord, you see. It's a challenge these days. But I'm going to tell you one thing. If you or I lead somebody to Christ this week, it's going to change how we feel inside. You're going to be happy. You're going to be rejoicing because you're doing what God wants you to do, you see. And that's what brings revival in us, individual, and it spreads out through the church. It brings that and spreads out through the church, you see. So we see here the call to faith and the call to follower upon Philip, the prophet here. Now, I want you to notice something. Turn to John chapter 6. You know, after you're saved, after you know for sure you're saved, you're on the way to heaven, the next thing's going to be is what? A test. Right? A test. Did you really mean it? You know, you didn't really mean what you said. You know? Are you really sure? But how about so here is Philip's being tested, but I want you to notice who's testing him. In John chapter 6, look at verse number 5. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto who? Philip. And here's Jesus with Philip. Okay? Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? Now, there's a big host here, at least 5,000 people. You know? And Jesus asked Philip, where are we going to get the bread to feed these people? Where are we going to buy it at? And we said, and this he said, notice, to what? Prove him. Jesus said this to Philip to prove him. To prove him. So sometimes tests come in our lives to prove us. A lot of us this past week have been tested, haven't we? We've been proved. We're being proved by God. Are we going to trust him to see us through, or are we going to depend upon ourselves? We need to always depend upon him. And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Jesus knew what he was going to do. He's just trying to prove Philip. In verse 7, Philip answered him, 200 pennies worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. We see, first of all, Philip is looking at what? He's looking at the multitude, okay? He's also looking at the money. There's not enough money to feed this crowd. You know, it just won't work, you know? It's just not going to work, you see. And we see here, now, that Philip should have been looking at who? Jesus. But Philip was looking at the money and also the multitude that was there. He was looking at the fact that Jesus was there and Jesus was on the scene and Jesus was instructing him as what he should do. Trying to ask him, tell him what to do here. So we see here, Philip has been tested. He's been tested, you see here. But notice also, as we continue here, verse number 8. One of his disciples, what's his name? Andrew. Here's another disciple in the midst now. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, says it to him. Notice, there is a what? A lad here. You know, I don't know this, but I can just imagine that this lad got there because Andrew invited him. Andrew invited that lad to this feast, to this place, you know, because he was called out. He was called out. Notice there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? Here's a lad who's got a lunch, but that's not going to feed the multitude, he says here. And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, the number about 5,000, 5,000 men. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed it to his disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. And when they were filled, notice, when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. They recognized that Jesus was more than just a man. He was more than just a man here, you see. So we see here, Philip, the practical man, we see he could not make up his mind without the Lord's help, you see. He should have been looking at the Savior, but he was not. He was practical. He was a practical man, you see. He could not make up his mind, so he called Andrew and talked to him about it. And Andrew introduced the lad as being the one that would have enough food, as Jesus blessed it, to fill the multitudes there. It's an amazing thing to me how you take 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes and feed at least 5,000 people and have 12 baskets left. And that's unheard of, isn't it? That's unheard of. I'd like to be able to buy groceries this week and it'll last that long, wouldn't you? Those of you that have children, I know, bless your heart, I don't know how y'all do it. It's just me and my wife and my wife, never mind. But we eat a lot of food. But you know, it takes a lot. And that's why we ask God to bless the food when we eat. And it'll last. You know, it'll spread, it'll stretch. You know, but here's a miracle here that took place. And Philip was being tested because of this. Now, Philip, as we conclude, he's one of the 12. Called out in Matthew chapter 4, we find him there. And we see here, he's from Bethsaida. He called Nathanael also to come and see. And Jesus, he tempted Philip concerning how to feed the multitude. That was a big problem. 5,000 people. That was a little bit of food. 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes for that many people. You see, he was tested. So Philip and Andrew took and inquired the Gentiles to Jesus, brought them to Jesus. Soul winners, folks, soul winners. Just bringing people to Jesus. Philip was a practical man. A practical man. You know, he was. Jesus is teaching. Now turn to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Thank you, verse number 7. We notice Jesus had been talking to Thomas. He's the way, truth, and life. And you know, Thomas said to them, "Lord, how we know that we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way?" And he says, in verse 6, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life." And verse number 7, we find here, "If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him and have seen him." And notice verse number 8. What's the first word? Philip, he saith unto the Lord, "Show us the Father." Notice his request. Andrew's of Philip's request to Jesus is, "Show us the Father, Jesus. Show us the Father," he says here to him. And we find here, "And it suffices us." It will satisfy us if you just show us the Father. We know who you are, you're Jesus, but show us the Father. And we see here, as he asked Jesus to show the Father, Philip here is opening up the way for Jesus to teach that they're to see him, but to see him is to see the Father. When you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. He says here the request in verse 7 and verse 8. We notice also that, but we notice the truth is stated here to them. When Jesus says, if you have known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth, you know him and have seen him. That's the truth. He's trying to convey this message to Philip here. But then Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and it suffices us. And Jesus said in verse number 9, notice what it says, the reply here from Jesus. Jesus said unto him, that is Philip, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? Philip, I've been with you for almost 3.5 years now. Don't you know me? You know who I am. I'm the Father, I'm God, man. I'm God, the God, man. See, I'm Jesus, God's Son. Have known me, Philip. He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Show us the Father. Philip, I've been with you for all this long time now. You've seen me, you've seen the Father. Now, why would you want me to show you the Father? I am the Father. Philip here experienced friendship with Jesus. He really did. He called him many times by name. Philip had many conversations with Jesus. And I'm so glad that we have Philip as an example of an apostle, a practical man, someone just like you, someone just like me. Follow Jesus, folks. That's all it's about. That's all it's about in this life, you see. We need to follow him. Philip was slow to apprehend the truth sometimes, like I am and like some of us are. He was slow to apprehend that. And he missed much, no doubt. But Jesus had nothing unkind to say about Philip. He always had kind words to Philip. No matter where he comprehended or where he did not, he was the same. Jesus is always the same. He never changes. Philip was last mentioned in Acts chapter 1, verse 13. The last account we have about Philip. We also see, tradition says he did mission work over in Asia Minor. And of course, he was martyred like all but one of the apostles were. So he was martyred. He died. So we see, what do we see today? Philip, the practical man. The practical man. I look around me today and I see practical people. All of you. You have a body, a mind, a soul. You have strength. You have all kinds of abilities. God wants to use you, folks. I believe we're living in the last days, don't you? It's my prayer for revival. It's my prayer for the Lord to come. I asked this question a few weeks ago. What should we pray the most for, revival or the Lord to come? Revival or the Lord to come? Well, one thing for sure, if we have revival, it's going to hasten the Lord's return, isn't it? But when the last person gets saved, the Lord's coming. The trump's going to sound. So we need to be busy praying. We need to be praying for one another, for our loved ones, for people to be saved. We see Philip, he was a practical man. His call, he was discovered by Jesus like you were and I am. Jesus found us. I wasn't looking for God, and probably you won't either. I wasn't looking for Jesus when I got saved. And I'm so glad he was still looking for me. I'm so glad he saved me. I'm so glad he knows my heart today. Also, after he got saved, after Philip was called, he invited Nathaniel to come also. To come. Again, the sure sign of a person saved, they're concerned about somebody else. Concerned about somebody else. Who are we concerned about? Is there anybody in your life that you know that's lost? Are you praying for them? Are you trying to talk to them? To win them to Christ? That's what the Christian life is all about, folks. Is bearing fruit. Telling somebody else about Jesus. Telling somebody else about Jesus. We see he made a decision. Philip did. We see he was tested. He was tested. You and I are going to go through some tests in life. These tests are not to hurt us. These tests are to prove us as a Christian. May the Lord help us this week to set out, plan. Lord, with your help, I want to talk to somebody about Jesus this week. I know there's no doubt if you get out anywhere, you're going to run into people that are lost. Try to witness to people. Pass out a tract. Talk to people. You know, I was in a rest home this past week, and people there are in dire need, we know, physically. But a lot of those people are in dire need of a Savior because they're not saved. I don't know how much longer they have in life. They may outlive me, all of them. But chances are they won't. So it's necessary to go tell. Go tell. Philip, the practical man. God wants to use you. Young people, listen. God wants to use you to be a witness. If you're saved and born again, a child of God, tell somebody about Jesus. Tell somebody about Jesus. You know? As we look at these apostles, we see time and time again how God can and God will use ordinary people. He'll use those people to win people to Christ, to bring people to Christ. When they come to Christ, they get saved. They get saved, you see. That's what this life is all about, folks. May the Lord help us as I challenge myself and I challenge you this week. As our preacher said so many times, tell somebody about Jesus. It'll make you feel better and it'll make this world a better place to live if we'll do that. Let's pray. Father, thank you for Philip. Thank you, Lord, for his example. Lord, we're thankful that Jesus is always seeking the lost. We know the Bible says he came to seek and to save that which was lost. And God, I pray, Lord, you help us to be busy doing that also. Thank you for the examples we have to encourage us to live for you and to serve you. God, I pray, Lord, as we go forth this week, that you'd help us, Lord, to be mindful of Philip, the practical man, the man that you used to win people to Christ. Lord, I pray you make us what we are to be today. Bless now the service we're about to go into. Have your will and way. As our pastor, as the singing. Lord, is there someone here today that's lost? I pray they might be saved. And God, I pray your people will be encouraged by being here today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.